to the chapter of God's Word, which we read together. And let us consider now, as the Lord may be pleased to help us, verses 19 and 20. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 19. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Yes, God is speaking. And he spoke to the people of Judah and Jerusalem through the prophet Isaiah and through various prophets in various generations. He is speaking to us not in any new way, but he is speaking to us is through the Holy Scriptures. And what he is saying to us this evening in particular is, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, if the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Now, of course, this had a particular historical context. It was a time of particular departures from God. It was a time when they were in danger of enemy invasion. And what has been said to them is that if they were willing and obedient, then they would be left in peace to enjoy the good of the land, the crops and everything that would grow and that they could reap. If they were willing to obey God, then they would have his blessing. But if they refused to obey and were rebellious, then the enemies would advance. There would be destruction among them. They would be devoured by the sword. And they were assured of the truth of what was being said in these words, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Now, when we take these words this evening and seek to apply them, taking them as a text and seeking to say something on the basis of these words that would be useful to us in our own position, it's the principles that we are trying to follow through and not the particular details of the encouragements and the warnings that were beginning with, that were being given to the people of Judah and Jerusalem in that particular time. Now, we could say something like this, that the Lord is telling us that if we are willing and obedient to his commandments, then we would have his blessing. But if we refuse and rebel, then punishment will come our way. It may be in time, but if that is true of us, punishment will certainly come in eternity. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And it would be well if we were realizing that God is speaking to us through his word this evening in particular. We're on our way to eternity. We're getting close to the end of another year. It should remind us powerfully that time is passing, that our time in this world is becoming less and less. We've got less and less time left, perhaps very little. We've got less and less time left to listen to the commands of God and to become obedient to them. Through God's help, when we're confronted with such an alternative as we have here, the alternative of obedience and willingness on the one hand, and of rebellion and refusal on the other, then we should be very conscious that we need God's help, that we need the powerful working of the Holy Spirit in our souls, so that we would have a new heart, and accordingly that we would be obedient, and that we would be kept back from this refusal and rebellion that is referred to here. I have 3 points which I would like to say something about with the Lord's help. The first is obedience and its consequences. The second is rebellion and its consequences. And then thirdly, that it is God who has spoken. First, obedience and its consequences. Second, rebellion and its consequences. And third, what should give all the authority to everything that may be said and to the particular words of our text this evening, that God has spoken. Obedience then and its consequences. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land, that they would be left in peace to enjoy the crops, that they would reap all the good harvest that they would have with God's blessing, and that they would not be disturbed by any enemies and their plans to invade. And there were particular commands that they were drawn to their attention. We only need to go back to the previous verse and find these words: "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be as white as snow. Though they be red as like crimson, they shall be as wool." And all the contents of the verses, they that go before that, is a call to obedience this eve. Given that we've read these words for our text, God is speaking to us through them. And he is saying this: "Come now, and let us reason together." See, he's speaking in the way of gracious invitation. Yes, there are firm warnings that we ought not to evade. Firm warnings that we ought not to put to one side. But you see, these warnings are in the light of such a gracious invitation as this. "Come," he is saying. "Come," said it, "and reason with me." That's what the Lord is saying. He's calling on you, whoever you are, wherever you're sitting. He's calling on you to come and reason with the Lord. He has been speaking to you. You are to speak to him also. You are to pray. Your thoughts are to rise up towards him, even as you're sitting where you are now. You don't need to wait until you go home. He's inviting you to speak to him, to tell him your needs, to tell him your difficulties. He's speaking to you about your sins. We could go back over what lies before this. And I hope to say a little about that later. But just focusing on these words just now, words of command that put very kindly. Oh, what a wonder that the great, all-powerful God of eternity, against whom we have sinned, should be speaking so graciously, speaking of not just the possibility of forgiveness and salvation, but the reality of it. "Though your sins be as scarlet," no matter how serious a sinner you have been, however long your sin has gone on for, However determined you may have been to reject the invitations of God, the offers of salvation in the gospel, however wickedly you have acted in resisting these offers, they're repeated again this evening. Though your sins be as scarlet, however deep the dye, they should be as white as snow. That's telling you something. It's telling you about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's telling you about how great and wonderful is the work that he accomplished when he gave himself to die in the place of sinners. Think of that. The great and glorious Son of God, that he became man, that he took the place of sinners. He took the guilt of sinners upon himself and said, I will go and suffer instead. I will go out and suffer. I come into the world to suffer, he says. And I went out of it suffering. Yes. Ah, but it was not something that was done in vain. It was no slight work that he did. It was no work that brought a perhaps of salvation. It's not this. Though your sins be as scarlet, it's possible that they could be as white as snow. It's not. Though your sins, though if you have little sins, they can be washed away. It's this. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be as white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they should be as wool. The whitest wool that has ever come off a sheep. Let's say it has been washed and watered. And oh, how white it is. Assuming that's the shade of wool that we're talking about. But you get the picture. However serious a person's sins are, they can be all forgiven and the sinner made pure and holy. But come now and let us reason together. Oh, don't let your reasoning be, my sins aren't too bad. Ah, what are they? They're sins against the holy God. They're sins against the holy God that made you. They're sins against the holy God that put you in a position where you could hear his law, so that you know his commandments, and his commandments should discourage from sinning. Yes. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be as white as snow. There's his promise. Promise for a sinner like yourself. Yes. Though your sins be as scarlet, come now and let us reason together. Is there something, though, I haven't said in connection with sin? There's something implied here. It's not by praying that our sins will be forgiven. There's something else. Well, it's this. The call to believe. Take it in these words. Given by Isaiah, you find it in chapter 45. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. Look unto me as the one who died, Christ is saved. Look unto me as the one who came into the world to save sinners. Yes. Oh, come and reason then. Say, Christ Jesus came to save sinners. Oh, therefore pardon my sin. Christ Jesus came to save sinners, and he has exalted a prince and a savior. May I remember these words. Exalted a prince and a savior to give repentance and forgiveness of sins. Yes. To give repentance. Come then and reason with the Lord. Bring these words before him. Ask him to put faith in your hearts. Ask him to open your eyes so that you would look to Christ. When he says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Remember that. None else. The way of salvation is set before you. There's no other. He's saying to you, come then, come now, and let us reason together. Yes. Or we might listen to the Lord saying, you see, if we're reasoning with the Lord, and I'm not proposing to follow that idea through for too long, that we're to be listening to what God is to say, and we're to be speaking to God, we're to be praying. And you might be saying, over and above what I've said along these lines, you might be saying, what am I to say? Well, listen again to what God has to say. He's speaking through Hosea, and Hosea was speaking about the same time as Isaiah. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Thou hast fallen. That they had serious sins. Their sins were indeed as scarlet, as crimson. So they were to come and grease, and they were to take with them words. That's what they were to do. Take with you words and turn unto the Lord and say unto him, and here is the Lord helping you to reason with him. What are you to say? It's in chapter 14, in case you want to look at it again, or even look it up just now. And perhaps if you were concerned about this matter of reasoning with the Lord, if you were concerned about true prayer, and that you would at least have right words, then you would want to look up such a verse as this, or verses. Here's the words that you may use in turning to the Lord and reasoning with him. Take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. Take away all iniquity for Jesus' sake. You could put that in. And oh, that as you put these words in, that you would have your eyes open to look to Christ as you would never look to him before, even supposing you have been converted for many a year. Oh, what a blessing it would be if your eyes were further open this evening itself to see Christ as a great and glorious Savior, greater and more glorious and more effective than you have ever understood him to be. Take with you words then. Say unto the Lord, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So shall we render the calves of her lips. You will be thankful. And then you will go on to say as before God, Asher shall not save us. You see, they were in danger of relying upon Assyria for salvation. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands. Hear them gods, for in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. Oh, say that. Take with you words. Turn unto the Lord and say to him, on the basis of his revelation, in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. In those who are altogether helpless. I'm a helpless sinner, you say, and let me say it with you. I'm a helpless sinner. And let me look, and you look to the one who died for sinners and arose again. Asher shall not save us. And as we apply that to our own spiritual situation, no help from man, our help must be from the Lord. We will not ride upon horses. We will not say to the work of our hands, yet our gods, they will not follow our idols, will not trust in anything else. It's in God, it's in Christ Jesus in particular. For in him the fatherless findeth mercy, and helpless as you might find yourself to be, if you come to a degree of obedience to these words, come now and let us reason together. Then, oh, take another look at Christ in the light of these words, and thee the fatherless findeth mercy. If you're saying, I'm helpless, 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 helpless beyond expression, I cannot save myself, I cannot put myself right, but look away from yourself, look away from any hope of salvation in yourself, for the Lord is saying, in me the fatherless findeth mercy. It's mercy we need, isn't it? Mercy. There's hope if there's mercy. If there's a God of mercy. Yes. Well, what we have is, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. If you be willing and obedient. Now, we'll go to Sychar in Samaria. We'll see what's happened. When the Savior is weary at the well, and the woman comes along with her water pot, and they reason together. Oh, was that not hope? Come and let us reason together. And the woman is reasoning with the Savior, and it comes to the point where she speaks about the Messiah, and he says, I that speak unto thee am he. In the process of reason, the Savior spoke to her, and nothing more needed to be said. She saw Christ as a Savior suitable for her needs. Yes. And oh, one could condemn the Savior at various stages in what she is saying. But oh, the wisdom of the Savior and his dealings with it. And he made her willing. And he made her obedient. And she took as her Savior in the process of the reason. Oh, what a blessed thing it is to be brought reason with the Lord. However outrageous our words might be in the beginning. And no doubt that was true about the Savior. Let us not be willfully outrageous. But suppose we might say many a foolish thing. You see, there's this power, this wonderful power to subdue sinners to himself. The Savior working through the Spirit there. The Savior was speaking to the woman, and the Holy Spirit came through the intercession of Christ, one would say, and he comes to work in the woman's soul. He takes the words that the Savior uses in his reasoning, and he applies them to the soul of the woman, and she receives them. Oh, what a wonderful thing. You can then, and reason together, as the Lord is inviting you to do this evening. However careless you may have been in your life up till now, however little attention you may have paid to the things that belong to your peace, to the claims of God upon your life, and to the salvation that is in Christ Jesus, come now, he is saying, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Come now. And you will eat the good of the land. You will have the Lord's blessing. And there is the woman. And she's so taken up with the things that belong to her peace, having found the Messiah. And she leaves her water pot at the well. And she goes off to speak to the men in the city. Oh, what has she found? And she says to them, come see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Come see a man. Ah, yes. Is that not what preachers of the gospel are to say? Come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Is not this the anointed one from heaven? Is not this the Savior? A Savior suitable for you? Come then and reason together with him. Come. do not stay away this blessing. He is the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. That's it. The author of eternal salvation, not the salvation for a few moments, not salvation for a few years, not a salvation that we're in danger of losing on our deathbeds. What an awful thought. Without time to retrieve salvation, but that's not a God-honoring salvation. So it's not the salvation that God has provided. He's the author of eternal salvation. Yes. And what blessings are contained in that? There's this, you see, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Being justified by his grace, we are made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Justified by his grace. Accept peace with God. What a blessing. What a blessing. Ye shall eat the good of the land. Ye shall have spiritual blessings. And then there's eternal blessedness beyond. Having been justified by his grace, they are heirs. Heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Heirs of eternal life. So that they are blessings in this world. Oh, they're not complete in this world. And that's very much related to the fact that sin is still in them. Sin is being subdued. Oh, there's a blessing. And all that temporal needs will be supplied as God sees fit. They have the assurance that God will supply all their needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, and that includes their spiritual need. What's troubling you this eve? Oh, is the Lord saying, come now and let us reason together. And if you are obedient, if you're willing to reason and to receive his reasoning, as the woman of Samaria was eventually made, then you will eat the good of the land. You will have blessings, whatever difficulties you may have. Oh, but when these difficulties not fade into nothing, when you pass into eternal glory, what blessedness is there when you inherit the hope of eternal life. And when you come to this at last, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. There was a come, you see, in that command I've tried to lay considerable stress on. Come now and let us reason together. And the sinner is made obedient, and the sinner comes to Christ according to the call of the gospel. And then it comes to this, there's the judgment seat. And surely it shall be well with the righteous on that occasion. Yes, 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 of course it is. And the evidence has been led. The evidence is that they came and reasoned together with the Lord. That they looked to Christ as the one who gives repentance and forgiveness of sins, and they walked in the path of new obedience, and then an end of it all with these words, come ye blessed of my Father, and edit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Can we not say that they will eat the good of heaven? That's eternity for the people of God. They will eat the good of the land. They have the promised land in heaven above. Think of it. They will eat the good of the land. What about yourself? Do you know anything of these things? Do you know anything of reasoning with the Lord? See the Syrophoenician woman. And she reasoned gently, graciously with the Lord. And she got what she needed. She got what she wanted. Oh, what an example. What is it that is troubling? What concern have you got for yourself, for your wife, for your husband, or your children? What concern have you got for your relations or the people around you? Come now and let us reason together. He is saying to you, and if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. You will have the Lord's blessing in this world, even before you reach eternal glory. And one of the great blessings that you will have is that you have the ear of the King. What a great matter it would be if for somebody who in a time of trouble could go to the King and was sure to have the ear of the King. Ah, well, is that not the case with yourself? If you have been made willing and obedient, you have the ear of the King, and you can go to him. You can go and reason with him. You've learned to reason in your own little way. Well, remember that if you have been brought into his kingdom, if you have begun to walk in the narrow way that leads to eternal life, you have the ear of the King, and you are to go to him with all your needs. He will never turn you away. However he will answer you, he will never, never turn you away. Yes. And we just leave the matter just now with these words. Say to the righteous that it shall be well with them, with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Say to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for he shall eat the fruit of their doings. The results of the way they live will be given to them as a blessing. It's not that they can earn blessings, but that the Lord is graciously rewarding them for their poor, weak obedience. Secondly, rebellion and its consequences. But if you refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. If ye refuse and rebel, the Lord is saying, come and let us reason. And you say, no. Is it? Do you speak to the Lord in that solemn and awful way? Do you say, there's a time coming in the future when I will obey? No, he's not. As it were, if I can put it like that, interested in that. That's not his will. Perhaps there's a better way to put it. That's not his will for you. His will that you would come and reason together with him now. Yes. Oh, what solemn words these are also. Woe unto the wicked, for it shall be ill with him. For the reward of his hands shall be given him. The reward of his action. Is he acting in an ungodly way? Is he acting in an irresponsible, evil way? Is he acting sinfully? Is he rebelling against the commands of God? Is he refusing to submit and to submit now? Oh, is this not the danger? Is this not the way it will turn out if he goes on too long? And who knows how long too long is? If we cannot be sure, we cannot say. The danger is that they might be swept off at once. Oh, then, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Do not refuse and rebel. Do not be devoured with the sword. Do not act in such a way that the sword of divine justice will come out against you. There were the people of Judah. As the time of the kings wound on further and further. They were refusing to listen to the messages that came to them by the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah in a later generation, and all the others. Oh, they came with messages of mercy. They came telling them that though their sins were as scarlet, they could be as white as snow. Well, what happened? The chief of the priests and all the people transgressed very much after all the abomination of the heathen, and polluted the house of the Lord which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his place, on his people, and on his dwelling place. The Lord rising up betimes, or early. That's somebody who's in earnest. What about your own situation? Can you not say that the Lord has been in earnest with you? He sent you messengers who brought you his word. They've read the Bible to you. You've read the Bible in your home. You learned a little of it. You learned the doctrines very likely of the scriptures in the shorter catechism. But have you transgressed after the various abominations of the heathen? What is it? What is the ruling principle in your life? Is it the Bible? Or is the Bible just something of an add-on to your life? Is it the secular ideas of this generation that is ruling your life? Where do you seek enjoyment? Or does your ways of seeking enjoyment conflict with this call? Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Yes. Do you refuse and rebel? How do you live your life? What are the main principles of your life in this world? Is it this? To live to the glory of God. Is it this? To be ready for heaven. And you've not just had one warning. You've had years of warnings. You could easily make a rough estimate of it according to how regular or otherwise you have been in your attendance in the means of grace. What happened then in Judah? What was the outcome there? They were refusing and rebelling. And yes, they were devoured by the sword, for they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against the people till there was no remedy. Now that's the thing. There's a remedy. But you see, if you go on long enough in rebellion, refusing and rebelling, if you will not submit to the authority of the Lord God, whichever way in particular you take the expression of his commands, and we're taking this one just now, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Then a time will come when there can be no remedy, when you must go into eternity, when the door of eternity opens and your soul must enter. Oh then, what is waiting on the other side in a way that you never experienced in this world? There is the sword of divine justice. Oh, what a solemn thing. A sword that is furbished, as the Lord said to Ezekiel. A sword that is sharpened, sharpened that it may devour. Ah yes, how sharp is the sword of divine justice. How sharp is the sword of divine justice when it is exercised in a lost eternity. Oh, why am I saying that? Well, One reason I'm saying it is that it's in the word of the Lord, and the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. That's one reason. And the other reason is so that you would begin to submit, so that you would, when you hear the call, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord, that you would begin to reason. Oh, deliver me from the wrath to come, you might say. Or you might take with you words. You might turn unto the Lord and say, take away all the iniquity and receive us graciously. Yes, if for the sake of Christ, oh, reason with him before it is too late, before you will be devoured with the sword. Yes. There's that question which you have often heard. Will you not take it seriously this evening? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? A salvation so great. How great is the expression of this salvation as you find it in the previous verse. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be as white as snow. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How? How? If you refuse and rebel, you should be devoured with the sword. Yes. There's a certainty about it, an unavoidable certainty. Take it to heart and turn unto the Lord and say, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. Or take this question at verse 5 in the chapter from which your text is taken. Why should you be stricken any more? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. Oh, the condition of Israel at that time. Ah, yes, and the condition of sinners, even though under the gospel, if they are not taking with them words, if they are not reasoning with the Lord, if they are not looking unto Jesus. Oh, but why should you be stricken any more? Why should you suffer any more? Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Come now and let us reason together. Why should you be stricken any more? Why should you revolt any more? Oh, will you not cry for mercy? Will you not cry to the one who is on the throne, whose ear is open, who is ready to give forgiveness, repentance, everything you need? Oh, go to him. He's not far from us this evening. He cannot be. He has said that where two or three are gathered together in his name, he will be there. Take him at his word and go and reason with him. Take him at his word. Go and reason with him. Go and reason now. Go and reason with him this evening. Not just for a minute or two. Give time to the matter. The matter is so desperately important. The matter is so urgent. If you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured with the sword. For hear him in these words. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way. Oh, perishing. What an awful thought, perishing on the way that should be leading to everlasting life. Perishing in the way of attendance of the beings of grace. If his anger be kindled but a little, ah, but is it just a little? After all these years of rebellion, after all these years of refusing it to come and reason it with the Lord, ah, well, still, the Lord is saying to you, kiss the Son, lest his anger break out. Even a little, and you perish from the way. When blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Oh, will not all be well? if you will but trust, if you will but look to it. You see, one of the great sins of the people at this time, it was their insincerity. It wasn't that they brought sacrifices, but he says, bring no more vain oblation. Incense is an abomination unto it. Why? Oh, it's because of their insincerity. Even when they would spread forth their hands, he would hide his eyes from them. When they would make many prayers, he would not hear. Their hands were full of blood. So serious was their sin, and yet he hasn't forgotten to be gracious. He was still saying, though your sins be as scarlet, and they were, they should be as white as snow. Yes, if you be willing and obedient, that's one thing. But if you refuse and rebel, you should be devoured with the sword. You see, we're not to be content with carrying out the formalities of religion. Religion needs an inner core. Religion is a thing that must have its root at the heart. So let us go to the one whose ear is open, the one who has exalted a prince and a saviour to give. What? Repentance. And that's including faith. The one who can give sincerity. Oh, you say, come now and let us reason together. Do not rebel, lest you be devoured with the sword. Lest it come to this, that it will be said to you, depart, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. You don't want to hear that, do you? You don't want to be on the left-hand side. You don't want to be sent away in righteous judgment into everlasting punishment. Oh, well, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. The Lord is saying, come now and let us reason together. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword. And the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. That's it. That's the third thing. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it. It's sure then. It's absolutely sure. There's no doubting of it. There's no questioning it. At least we ought not to question it. We're to take it as absolute truth. Who is speaking? Yes, it's the Lord that created the heavens. God himself that formed the earth, that formed it to be inhabited. It's our Creator. It's the one who sustains the earth in existence. And what is more, he is the one that sustains us in existence. Oh, if he was, so to speak, to drop us, as you might drop a cup or something like that and smash us on the floor, well, use the picture. If he was to drop us, we'd just pass out of existence. No, that can never be. But oh, this is what he may do. He may leave us to be devoured by the sword, fearful thought, the sword of divine justice to all eternity. But it's our Creator that has spoken. He is the God that cannot lie. Think of that, his infinite, absolute, total purity. And he speaks, and therefore we must have absolute confidence in what he says. He is saying that if we are willing and obedient, we shall eat the good of the land. If we refuse and rebel, we will be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Yes. I am the Lord, he says, and there is none else. And he goes on, I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. He declares things that are right. Yes, he's emphasizing it. He cannot lie. He doesn't say in any vain way, in any insincere way, that to seek him. He means if we seek him, we will be found of him. Oh, will you not take that with you? Will you not take it into your mind and heart and reason with him? as you hear it, the word of the God that cannot lie. Yes. And when Paul has said these words, he goes on to say that he hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me. God's word committed to Paul. He is willed that it should be declared through preaching. It's not Paul you have this evening, but you do have God's word. You do have the preaching that God has willed should be declared. They say you could go out and say, this is what God has said to me today. You could say, the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Well, as you hear the preaching of the word, you're to take what is said just as seriously as if it was a new message from God that had been delivered today. As if there were still prophets like Isaiah who could come to you and say, the mouth of the Lord has spoken it, and this is the message that I was given for you today. Well, this is the message that you have in God's providence, and you are to say, though you cannot ascribe infallibility to a human preacher, that you see, I trust that what has been said has been absolutely in accordance with the word of God, and you heard much quoted from the word of God, and many a few texts quoted repeatedly. Oh, you're to say in connection with the Bible verses especially, the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And you're to say in connection with the text, in a very special way, the mouth of the Lord has spoken it, and spoken it to you. And you will have to give account at the day of judgment for what you've heard this evening. Yes. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. And if the mouth of the Lord has spoken, if the Lord has spoken it in other words, then surely we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip, according to the words of Paul to the Hebrews. Lest at any time we should let them slip. The idea seems to be, if you had a leaky pail, the water would be slipping out of it. Well, that's, I'm afraid, how our minds are liable to be. So what do you do? There's various things you might do to repair a leaky pail. What do you do if you have a leaky mind? Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard. For one thing, you're to go over it afterwards, to think over it afterwards. You're to go to God in prayer. You're to hear Him say to you still this evening after you go home, come now and let us reason together. And you are to take all the more earnest heed to the things that you have heard, lest you should let them slip and reach eternity without a drop of water in your pail. How solemn. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it, and we're to give all the more earnest heed to it because of that. Yes. And hear these words from the mouth of the Lord through Isaiah, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Why are you spending your money, your time, your effort for what will not last? Yes, you have to live. You have to do many a thing according to your life in this world, that is so. But oh, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and that very likely many a thing you're doing that does you no good for this life or for the next. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Oh, the blessedness of obedience the blessedness of being at peace with God, the blessedness of hating the good of the man, even in this life, and more particularly in heaven. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. May he bless his word to us. Let us pray. Have mercy on us, Lord, grant to give thy spirit. Oh, apply thy word, may we not be able to forget it. May the fact the mouth of the Lord has spoken it, may follow us all through this evening and into the days to come if we are spared. Ah, grant that we would feel the authority of thy word, that we would indeed be blessed. Take each of us under thine own loving care. Bless us with all spiritual blessings. Pardon our sin. Make us earnest. Make us obedient. Draw us by thy grace. Work powerfully in our heart. May we give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Grant thy blessing. Follow us with thy blessing. Grant to keep us from evil. May we be made willing to receive thy word. Pardon our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen.